Appreciate the opportunity to be here today with you and to be able to be with saints that love the Word of God and love to study it rightly divided and love the Lord Jesus Christ and for the salvation that we have by grace through faith alone. Appreciate the preaching that I've heard so far. The conference dates are October 18th through the 20th. It's the third weekend in October. The saints there have done that long before we came there. But we appreciate the conference here. We appreciate Steve and the ministry here with the saints of Grace Bible Church. We thank you guys, all of you, for the hospitality. That when you hold this meeting, we know there's a lot of work that goes into a conference. The planning is, especially for a conference this size and for the accommodations and everything involved, there's a lot of work that goes into a meeting like this. And just a labor of love. And so we appreciate the service that they do for their Savior and that we get the opportunity to reap the benefits of it. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16. And I want to talk to you today about a sure foundation. The message today is about being established as believers. The doctrine that we have a clear design in the Scriptures when we rightly divide the Word of Truth, that a clear design of edification for the establishment of our souls as believers. And it's laid out clearly in God's Word. And as Brother Jan said, you know, I just appreciate the opportunity. We have the greatest message to preach as grace preachers. It's a privilege. As he mentioned to the saints in the Bible study, you know, you're very blessed to have the opportunity to hear this message. And he said, we as preachers are very blessed to have the opportunity to preach it. Amen. In Romans chapter 16, verse 25 and 26, we read, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith." So that passage says that that God has the power to establish us today according to the preaching of, according first and foremost to the gospel that was committed to the Apostle Paul for our salvation, number one. He calls it according to my gospel, and I believe that that can also include all the good news about what God has done for us in Christ. So according to the good news, according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. There's some truth about the Lord Jesus Christ that God revealed through the Apostle Paul, and that's the message that we're established in today. Now, Paul gives us that information about God being able to establish us in the book of Romans. Now, the book of Romans, in Paul's epistles, it's the first book that we find in order, the canon of Scriptures, the way the Scriptures are laid out in order. It wasn't the first book or letter that Paul wrote, of course. We know that. We believe that Galatians and Thessalonians were probably written first. But this occurs first in our Bibles, after the book of Acts. After Acts explains there's a transition between the ministry of Peter and the 11, the Acts of the Holy Spirit through these apostles, and the first part of the book of Acts, then Acts chapter 9, we know that that Saul of Tarsus is converted. And from Acts chapter 9 through the end of the book of Acts, we see God pressing his ministry, the ministry of the Apostle Paul, gaining momentum. But, of course, you don't see the ministry of Peter and the 11 after Acts 9. You see it diminishing. So we know that the very next book in the Bible is the book of Romans. And in that book, we're told at the end, at the last chapter, we're told that God is of power to establish you according to Paul's gospel, his my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. So Paul had the doctrine when he wrote the book of Romans that's that's able to, that God has the power to use to establish us as believers. And there is a design or a pattern of edification in Paul's epistles that God can use to establish, has the power to establish the believer with. And when the advantage of being established in the doctrine that was given to Paul to establish believers in the church, the body of Christ with, the advantages are, number one, each believer can be established, rooted, and grounded in the truth with that doctrine. Number two, it gives the believer the ability to understand who and what God has made you in Christ. To know that you're identified with the Lord Jesus Christ, that you're complete in Christ, lacking nothing. To know that you have the assurance of your salvation and that you have the forgiveness of sins. To know that what gospel message needs to be believed and preached for salvation from the penalty of sin. To be able to access and to stand in God's grace. To be able to endure the trials and hardship and temptation and sufferings of this life. Understand how to live under God's grace in the dispensation of grace. How it is to, what it means to walk as a believer under grace and not under the law today. To understand, to be established helps you to know what to truly be thankful for what God is blessing you with and doing today. You hear a lot of prayers, people thanking God for things that God's not doing today or that He didn't do. But there are so many things that God has done that we have to be thankful for. We can rejoice in those things. So being established, you know what to be thankful for. And to, it gives you the understanding of the message that saves you from the power of sin, not just the penalty of sin, but the power of sin on a day-to-day walk as a believer, how to put sin off, to put off the old man. Being established gives you the understanding of knowing how God operates and intervenes in our lives in the dispensation of grace. It helps us to be grounded so that we know how to walk in sound doctrine, saving us from apostasy or departing from the truth, that we not be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. To understand God's purpose today for the church, the body of Christ, both now and in the ages to come, what God's purpose is in keeping this revelation a secret until after the cross, that He's going to use the body of Christ to reconcile the heavenly places to Himself with the church, the body of Christ, as His agency. To understand our blessed hope, to encourage us during our suffering day by day, how that work, that hope works in the believer, to encourage us, to understand what's required for our obedience today in this dispensation of grace, how to please God, how to serve Him, how to glorify God today. When you're established, you know what you need to be doing. Know how to fare well at the judgment seat of Christ. Just a few of the things on a list that you can consider what being established means, how it can benefit your life as a believer. In 2 Timothy 2:15, we quoted a lot, the scripture says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, that verse, 2 Timothy 2:15, gives us clear instruction that tells us that we need to be approved as workmen before God in the dispensation of grace. We're not saved by works, but there's work we need to do as believers after we're saved. One of the preachers said that we don't work for salvation. We work because we're thankful for the salvation that God has given us. We have that opportunity. And the workmanship, the 2 Timothy 2:15 is talking about in studying, it's a labor, it's a work that we need to do as believers by just reading the Word of God, considering it, meditating on it, acknowledging the things that it tells us that God has made us in Christ. That's the work. You know, that work, truly, just reading it, meditating on it, absorbing it, reflecting on it, talking about His Word, that doesn't seem like much work, does it? That's a joy to us. When you read it, it might have been difficult to get yourself to sit down, take time, get in front of the Word of God, but then what happens? You think, wow, I should have been here a long time ago. Why do I put this off? I enjoy God's word so much. It's such an encouragement to me. This is what I need to do. And then the next day, the same battle happens. Why? Because you have an old sin nature that doesn't want to submit to the word of God. It never will. We have to put it off. We have to remember how much comfort and strength and encouragement and joy there is in opening the word. But that labor, when we let the word of God, we absorb it, we let it purify our minds. When we submit ourselves to the word of God, it's God working, isn't it? So the labor for us today as believers, that work, is a co-labor with God. God works with you. There's nothing that he asks you to do that he doesn't give you the power to do in Christ. Empowered, the sufficiency of his grace doesn't provide. So you know, we're blessed. We have a great message to believe and to walk in. But this passage, 2 Timothy 2:15, implies a review or a judgment. Study the church to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Where is this review? When are you going to be approved before God? What is this judgment? It's the judgment seat of Christ, isn't it? We will all stand before God, and we will all be individually accountable for what we did with his word. We're entrusted with it. Lord Jesus Christ in his earthly ministry rebuked the Pharisees because they erred not knowing what the scriptures said. And he rebuked the religious leaders in his day and during his earthly ministry, because they didn't know the word of God and didn't submit them to it. The same is true of us. We're entrusted with such a great message, but we will be responsible for what we did with it. That we submitted ourselves to it. That we allowed it to work in us. That we allowed him to use it to work through us and to accomplish his work to bear fruit, etc. So 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, is a verse that tells us that there's a review or a judgment that we all will be responsible for what we did with the truth of God's word. We need to be established in it. We need to allow God to establish. We need to allow God to use his word as the power to establish us by submitting ourselves to it and allowing that process to happen. First, go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And I know I'm preaching to a bunch of believers that are established, that do study his word rightly divided, that already are established, but I want to encourage you today with what it means to be established and to encourage you that God has done a work in you, if you're established today, that you wouldn't trade for anything that is so valuable and precious. You have such a great blessing to understand the truth that God has established you, and you're rich. There's no one walking around on this planet wealthier than you. And it's just an amazing thing that God does in his word. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 tells us in verse 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto carnal or as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you are not able to bear it, neither yet are you able. For ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men?" When you aren't established in God's word, this passage tells us that you're a babe in Christ. Now, you're saved, but you're saved so as by fire. If you haven't been established, if you haven't allowed yourself to be matured or perfected as a saint to the understanding, the clear understanding of who and what God's made you in Christ, his purpose for the body of Christ today, the hope that we have. If you haven't been established in those truths, the Bible says you're a spiritual baby. And Paul mentions that he gave the Corinthians the doctrine. But he had to feed them with milk and not with the meat of the word because they weren't able to bear it. They would have choked on it. They weren't established in the foundational understanding of the book of Romans. He couldn't give them higher levels of understanding and doctrine. They wouldn't be able to receive it. It wouldn't benefit them. Drop down to verse 9. Verse 9 says, "For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Notice verse 9 says, we are laborers together with God. One of the blessings, again, God gives us labor to do, but he doesn't give it to us to do alone. Brother Jam was talking about building a business with his son. You know, dad was working with his son to build this business, and I've had the opportunity, my dad was a plumbing contractor, to be able to work with him, and what a joy it was to be able to work with him. I remember, you know, just being in a place where dad would just teach me all kinds of things, and he just loved to do it while we were working, and it was such a joy to have that relationship and that privilege to work with your dad. But our Heavenly Father labors with us to do the work that he's given us to do. And the word there, husbandry, has to do with imagine a farm, an orchard. God is growing. Maybe it's a vineyard. God is growing the fruits. And he is investing in the ground, and he's laboring to be able to produce fruit with that orchard or vineyard. That's us. We're God's husbandry. God's laboring to produce fruit in our lives. He's entrusted us with his word that will accomplish that work. And his word, he is the life. He brings the life forth that bears the fruit if we just take in the life of his word and let it work in us. The verse says, verse 9 says, ye are God's building. There's terminology about a building, an edifice of doctrine. Verse 10 says, again, according to the grace of God which is given me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, talking about this being established in the word of God. Paul says, I've laid the foundation and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. He talked about Apollos there in Corinth. Paul labored among them to establish them. Apollos came along and built on that labor that Paul had worked on. There's this stern word of caution. He says, I've laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. There's a word of caution about how you build upon the foundation. We know the foundation is my gospel. The gospel, salvation by grace through faith alone, justification by faith, the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, my gospel, the good news about who and what God has made us in Christ. There's more information that comes along after that we have the advantage of 13 epistles written, inspired by God, but written by the Apostle Paul, that are written and they're given in an order that if we just study the Word of God from Romans through Philemon, you hear the preacher say it all the time, if you study the Bible left to right, the way we read a book, that you can be established in that truth if you just take it in the order that it's given in. But there's this plan. Paul says he's the master builder. He's given the blueprints for the dispensation of grace that God has the power to use to establish you. Now, if he's talking about the blueprints, talking about not him that's of power to establish you in Romans, talking about the blueprints in 1 Corinthians, then early on in Paul's epistles, you have a design laid out, and of course we have the completed Word of God, all the epistles, all the truth that we need to establish us in Romans through Philemon. There's an order and a plan laid out. We don't have to wonder if we're established. There's a clear instruction that tells us we're to be established, and we can easily follow in God's Word how that process takes place and when it's complete for us individually in our lives. And read down with me now to verse 11. We're going to read down verse 11 and 12. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. See the work there? Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the work shall try every man's... And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned up, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. The last two verses tell us that we're the temple of God. We read over in verse 9 that we're God's building. The materials laid out in verse 12, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, three of those materials listed, the first three, precious metal, precious stones. Those are the quality materials, right? Then wood, hay, stubble. You know, today we build a lot of things with wood, and wood's a good material to build a house with, but we're not talking about a house that's going to go before a fire judgment, are we? This is an edifice. The precious description of these precious metals and material also describe the Word of God, don't they? Hold your place there and go with me to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. And we're going to look at verse 13. Proverbs 3:13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof better than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her. And happy is every one that retaineth her. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. By understanding he hath established the heavens. By his knowledge the depths are broken up, and the clouds drop down the dew. My son, let not them depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. So shall they be life unto thy soul, and grace unto thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in the way safely, and thy foot shall not stumble. When thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy foot from being taken. The Word of God described here more precious than silver, gold, or rubies. The description here of quality materials in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 is a description of the doctrine that we're to use the blueprints that were given to the Apostle Paul to establish us as believers, to build into our souls that edifice of doctrine. The precious metal and the precious stones describe materials that will withstand a fiery judgment. You know, that's going to be important when you have that judgment and review, when we stand before God and he judges us according to what we did with his word that he entrusted to us, to establish us and to proclaim in our ministries. That review is going to be, did you submit to the doctrine that I gave for you to walk in, to trust, to give you strength, to work in you, to bear fruit, those things. That's going to be the judgment. But, you know, also, it's given to us on behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his name's sake. There is a life of suffering and trials, fiery trials in this life, if you will. And that doctrine is, his grace is sufficient to help you to get through. We can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us, right? We're given that doctrine to equip us for suffering here in our lives now. that is that shelter, that fortress that David talked about that he ran to, the fortress of the truth of God's word to protect him when his enemies came and whenever he was being attacked, he retreated to that fortress. That's that edifice of doctrine that Paul's talking about that's given to us to build into our souls. It gives us peace, comfort, strength, everything that we need to be able to accomplish the work of the ministry as believers. So we have those quality materials. You know, when the three little pigs, they were building houses, and the first one, I think he might have used hay to build his house, right? And the wolf came. Well, you know, those stories were written. They described, the things that were going on at that time. And you can imagine the wolf, Satan, and the attack that he brought against believers. And you don't want to have a house built of hay, wood, or stubble when the wolf comes and he can burn that house down and get you, right? But it's the gold, silver, precious stones that there's safety in. And that's the safety of God's word when you study it and submit yourself to it. So we have these materials given. Can you imagine, the quality, the gold ring that you give a couple exchanges at a wedding ceremony? That rings, that gold is to be a symbol of the love, the covenant in that relationship, lasting forever, the quality. Can you imagine exchanging wooden rings at your wedding? You know, well, here, honey, this one's made out of pine, southern pine. You know, wouldn't expect it to hold up over the years, would you? So the idea there is quality for longevity, it's better. Gold is better than stubble. So the quality of the workmanship is laid out here. And it has to do with the doctrine that is going to endure the building inspector's judgment at the judgment seat of Christ. When we're all reviewed, how did we build that doctrine? Did we use the right materials? Did we use the right method? Go with me to Romans chapter 1. You know, we mentioned Romans being at the beginning of Paul's epistles, and right away he says, now to him that's of power to establish you. So with the first book, he sent the letter to the Romans because he couldn't go there personally. So we have the advantage of, in written form, what it would take to establish a new believer in the book of Romans. And in chapter 1, in verse 1, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, verse 5, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Verse 11, for I long to see you that I may impart unto you, Romans, some spiritual gift to the end that ye may be established. For I long to see you that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift. I'm reading the same verse again. Verse 12. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. What is being established? It has to do with a mutual understanding of some doctrine. He wanted them to have the same understanding he did so that they would be established in that truth. Go with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3. So you have in the first chapter and in the last chapter of Romans this admonition about being established in the doctrine, the mutual faith that the Apostle Paul had that he wanted to impart to these believers. Look in 2 Timothy chapter 3. Now in 2 Timothy chapter 3, that order, that pattern, that blueprint, that design, we get a glimpse of how God arranged in the canon of Scripture how the doctrine is laid out for our establishment as believers. Verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, number one, two, for reproof, number three, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, not sinless perfection, but spiritual maturity, not a babe, but a mature saint, that the man of God may be perfect, throughly furnished unto all good works. The work that God has to do, he's equipped us with his word, that he's going to use to work in you. And he's going to accomplish that work. Philippians 2:13 says that it's God working in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. How does he work in you? It's through his word, isn't it? In 1 Thessalonians 1:13, you receive the word of God not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God that effectually worketh in you that believe, right? So that God's going to accomplish the work in you as a believer. All the good works that he's going to accomplish in you is going to be accomplished through his word working in you. The way you know God's using you to accomplish his labor, his work, is if you have a verse that tells you you need to be doing that. We can know that we're in the will of God today if we're doing what he says he's doing today in the dispensation of grace. God would have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. That second part of that, like the brother said earlier, the first part of that, you don't have to have a PhD to get saved. All you have to do is respond when that seed is planted, the seed about Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and that he was raised again the third day according to the Scriptures. When you believe that God hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That righteousness that we're made justification by grace through faith alone. You know, when we believe that, all we have to believe, okay, I'm a sinner, I believe that. The wages of sin, sinners go to hell. The good news is Christ died for my sins, and that salvation is a free gift, and all I have to do is trust in what he did for me, that when he died to pay for my sins, and God will save me. That's salvation, but that doesn't take labor and studying. That takes a faithful response, a positive response to God's word when we hear it, right? But then God would have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. That's the labor. Coming unto the knowledge of the truth, that's going to take studying, reading, reviewing, not just a one-time shot at being exposed to a passage, but reading it over and over and finding more and more truth, digging down and finding more, comparing verse with verse, the study process. But this verse, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Okay. It was right when I wrote it up here, you know, when I, by memory, for doctrine, for reproof. I wrote it up here so I wouldn't have to do this when I was up here for. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, instruction in righteousness. There's a order in Paul's epistles, and the way they're laid out, the first book that we find in the 13 epistles is the book of Romans. That's a book for doctrine for us today. Doctrine, reproof. The reproof for the Corinthians needed reproof because they weren't submitting to the Romans doctrine. They weren't walking in it. Okay, there were strife and divisions among them. They weren't submitting to the fact that God justified them by grace through faith alone, that God identified them with Christ. And so they needed reproof for not walking in the Romans doctrine. The Galatians had to be corrected because they had departed from the doctrine of Romans and were trying to be justified by the law. They needed to be corrected for departing from the truth, for false doctrine, for bad doctrine. The next book of doctrine that we find in Paul's epistles is the book of Ephesians. The book of Philippians and Colossians work together with the same Ephesian-level doctrine. That's why I called it level 2 on the board, because this level of doctrine and understanding about who and what God has made you in Christ, given in the book of Romans, is the first level foundational doctrine that believers need to be established in. Like Brother Steve was talking about this morning, understanding that term justification, that it means to be declared righteous. How is it that God declares the believer righteous? Well, you need to understand that before God, a holy and righteous God, or holy and perfect God, can declare you to be righteous, he has to first take care of the sin problem, which he took care of at Calvary, didn't he? At the cross. The Lord Jesus Christ, as our Redeemer, we have freedom. Redemption means freedom by the payment of a price. He shed his blood as a sacrifice. He was made as our substitute. He was sacrificed for us on the altar of Calvary. And on the cross, his shed blood paid for the ransom for our sins, for the penalty for our sins. The ransom being paid in full, the resurrection was a demonstration that the sins of all men that God made him when he hung on the cross couldn't keep him in the grave. He came forth in power in demonstration that his sins paid, or his blood, shed blood at Calvary, paid our sins in full. So we have the proof our sins are paid for in the resurrection of Christ. That's why he, for 40 days, he appeared to over 500 men at once, according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, to demonstrate he had witnesses. He picked his disciples to reveal himself to, so those who knew him best, to prove that he was raised from, as he was raised for our justification, wasn't he? So his shed blood at Calvary paid for our sins. The resurrection is proof of that. And we now have that understanding, that Romans level understanding, that we're justified because our sins are paid for. He died, he shed his blood as our propitiation, the all-satisfying sacrifice. Then God, once our sins are paid for, his grace and his mercy can make us righteous by identifying us together with the Lord Jesus Christ. God the Holy Spirit can, the moment we trust the gospel, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. God the Holy Spirit could join you with the Lord Jesus Christ because of the shed blood of Christ at Calvary. And so being identified together with Christ, he's made you righteous in him. You have Christ's perfect righteousness applied. So that foundational understanding, Romans level of doctrine, we've come to understand by it who and what God has made us in Christ. The next level of understanding in Ephesians doctrine comes along and explains, okay, now you the individual, God has saved you, this is what he's done for you, you have the assurance of salvation, eternal security. Now God has joined you with a bunch of other believers with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're a member of the body of Christ, his agency that he's going to use to reconcile the heavenly places. Takes that information, Romans level, builds upon that another body of doctrine that explains the purpose God has for forming the body of Christ and using the body as his agency in the world today. That final level of doctrine, Thessalonians, again, the truth of the rapture, the blessed hope, and wish we had more time to talk about that. But just wanted to share with you a little bit about that edification process, that God's word is laid out. You can read it left to right. You need to get the Romans level of doctrine, Romans 3 through 8, good passages to read every day to renew your mind in these truths. Let's bow our hearts in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for your perfect and precious holy word that you've used to establish us, you use today to build us up as believers and equip us as the temple that you'll use to minister through in the world today. We thank you, Lord, in a very trying time in our nation and in our world today, that you need light in a time of darkness, and that your light in us is what the world needs. Help us to be faithful to your word, submit ourselves to it, and proclaim it. For it's in Christ's name we pray and give thanks. Amen.